On this day of plenty for some, a look at why so many older Americans are going hungry. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Amy Scott, in for David Brancaccio. The number of seniors without enough to eat has doubled since 2001. That's according to research from the nonprofit group Feeding America. Since the last recession ended, access to food has improved for every other age group. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein looks at why the problem of hunger has stubbornly stuck around for people over 60.
For the last 4 years, University of Kentucky economist James Ziliak, co-author of this report, has seen the same thing. 3% of people over 60 say they skip meals, shrink portions, or go without. That's 2 million Americans.
We seem to be glossing over this challenge or outright ignoring it.
Ziliak says as Americans in this group die, others are aging into food insecurity. So even as the larger economy improves, the number of hungry seniors is still stuck. High rents, medical expenses, and low interest rates are all drivers, says the National Council on Aging's Laura Barber. One antidote, she says, make it easier to enroll for food stamps.
The research tells us that seniors are the demographic group least likely to know about the program and least likely to know how to access it.
Barber suggests getting signups to where seniors go, churches, the doctor, and yes, grocery stores. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. In global trading, London's FTSE 100 index is down about 0.1%. Chinese stocks closed lower as the government moved to crack down on online lenders. The Shanghai Composite Index fell 2.3% to its lowest level since September. U.S. markets are closed for the Thanksgiving holiday. As Black Friday approaches, more than half of shoppers plan to buy some gifts online and pick them up in the store. That's a 25% increase over last year, Marketplace's Aaron Schrank reports.
Now that we're seduced by the convenience of online shopping, there's the question of not always free shipping. Sometimes a trip to the actual store might be a good thing, but shoppers want trip assurance.
If I'm going to get in my car and I'm going to drive to the store, I want to make sure that the item is really going to be there.
Nikki Baird is with Retail Systems Research. When it works, both the shopper and the store can get what they want. For retailers, these services drive overall sales. Getting shoppers in store tends to rack up more unplanned purchases. Right now, about half of consumers have tried this service. It's easy at big box stores, but Baird says many others are still figuring it out.
Part of the reason why it hasn't completely overtaken the industry is there's too many stores that weren't designed for in-store pickup.
But the practice will become standard, says Tom Moore of Zebra Technologies, which recently surveyed retailers.
49% had that choice for their customers and growing to 90% by 2021.
Retailers have incentive to adapt. 7 in 10 shoppers told the National Retail Federation that buying online and picking up in stores improved their shopping experience. I'm Aaron Schrank for Marketplace.
This Thanksgiving, Americans will consume an estimated 80 million pounds of cranberries. That's according to the Ocean Spray Collective. Chrissy Clark from our Wealth and Poverty Desk has been exploring federal regulations for the latest season of Marketplace's documentary series, The Uncertain Hour. Today, a story of the year, federal regulations almost kept cranberries off Thanksgiving tables.
Like a lot of us, Janet Swager grew up in a house where cranberries were an essential ingredient for Thanksgiving.
Father especially liked homemade cranberry jelly, boiling down the berries and putting them through a sieve and all that sort of good stuff.
But one year when Janet was a teenager, her family's faith in cranberries was shaken. On November 9th, 1959, just a couple weeks before Thanksgiving, the Food and Drug Administration made a public announcement.
We interrupt this program for a special news bulletin.
Government inspectors had discovered a crop of cranberries contaminated with a weed killer known to cause cancer in animals. According to federal regulations, farmers were supposed to spray the chemical long enough before harvest that it had some time to wear off the berries. But apparently, some bogs got sprayed too late. And the government warned that if you didn't know exactly where your cranberries came from that year, you should keep them off the Thanksgiving table.
It was a scandal. They had sprayed the cranberries, and here they are laying out in the grocery stores.
Janet's family and a lot of the rest of the nation freaked out. Overnight, cranberries disappeared from store shelves. Some states banned the sale of cranberries altogether. People panicked about what to do without their favorite holiday condiment. This song hit the airwaves about the brand new worry all over the nation. All cranberry contamination. If you want to be sure of not getting sick, don't touch a cranberry with a 10-foot stick. But the FDA got blamed for overreacting. Richard Nixon and JFK, both running for president, flouted government warnings and very publicly consumed cranberries on the campaign trail. Cranberry growers argued that people would have to eat carloads of cranberries for the pesticide residue to do any harm, and hanged an FDA official in effigy. Cranberry, cranberry blue. Eventually, the FDA held hearings to help resolve the crisis and struck a deal with the cranberry industry. Berries that tested clean went back on grocery shelves. She said she wanted cranberries awfully bad, and if I didn't get her something, she'd go mad. I guess my baby I'm gonna lose, because there ain't no cure for the cranberry blue, yeah. That's Marketplace senior correspondent Chrissy Clark. Turns out the cranberry crisis was only a dress rehearsal for something much bigger, something that would change the way we think about food and government regulations. To hear that story, subscribe to the podcast Chrissy hosts. It's called The Uncertain Hour. In New York, I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.